Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambryce Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in trades, S as in Suns, like Phoenix Suns, M as in Mavericks, like the Dallas Mavericks. Kennedy Miller, my boy.
Oh, snap. What's up, man?
Man, I am good. I am chilling, my boy. Where can the folks find you on Twitter, dog?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right, man. We are both excited up in here, man. It's been a great Black History Month, if you ask me. Had two Black starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. We had a Black woman get paid millions of dollars to do a half-ass job. Yes, Rihanna, I'm talking to you. And then, Kennedy Miller, then, before the game, did you see Sheryl Lee Ralph sang Lift Every Voice?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
Yes, I did.
Boy, look, I was in the kitchen making myself a drink, and I just heard her voice. I don't know if it was one of them church hums or what it was, but I said, oh, Lord, who is that up there? And as she was singing Lift Every Voice, it took me back to my granny. She sang it like them folks do at Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. She sang that, you know, them little small churches in your grandparents' hometown in rural wherever, where they got one working ceiling fan in that. She sang it like that. She sang that joint so well. I was up in there talking about, let him use you, God. Yes. Tell his story, Father. Dog, she did her thing.
Yes, she did. I mean, great start to a great game. It was a great game, man. I enjoyed it. I had no dog in the fight, clearly. But it was just fun to see. It was just fun to see two Black quarterbacks go at it, man. And shout out to both of them because they both played their butt off.
Dog, man. It's one of the things that made me think about, like, as the game was coming to an end and when the Eagles had the ball on their final, like, real drive of the game. And I thought back to that national championship game in 2018. And I said, you would have never told me that Jalen Hurts would be here.
Right.
Making a drive to tie the game 2 years after being drafted. Like the idea that Jalen Hurts made it to a Super Bowl before Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and he wasn't just some bus driver. Jalen Hurts was the reason they were there. 400 yards of total offense. Man, look, I realized his freshman year at Alabama, I said, if this dude develops fully as a passer, he could be some dangerous. And lo and behold, almost 7 years later, I think he's turned into that, bro. I think he has.
I think he solidified himself top 10 in the league. Top 10 quarterback in the league. Closer to 5 than 10, in my opinion.
Ooh.
With just the way that he played this year. I mean, I got to give hats off to him. I know he's in our division. And Dak Prescott, you better have been watching that too. That lousy there. I didn't even care about that Man of the Year award. I booed him too when they put him on the screen. Whoa! Whoa! Get this off the screen. I didn't want to see Dak in the Super Bowl unless he's wearing a helmet and got some pads. And the Cowboys are in there. Man, I don't care about no Man of the Year award. Get off that screen and get better. Watch Jalen Hurts. Take a page out of his book.
can y'all let Dak rest just even for a second? Because, boy, I wasn't even going to bring Dak up because I knew it was going to ride you up. But you brought it up yourselves. Y'all still angry. Y'all are so angry right now.
It riled me up when I saw him. And because, you know, they were doing the whole preview for it. I said, oh, they doing Man of the Year and everything. And I said, who are they giving the Man of the Year to? Then I see it's Dak Prescott. I said, oh, no. Boo! Get him off of there.
You throwing stuff. You acting like this Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah, I'm throwing stuff at him. You know how bad they did Richard Pryor's son when he went, on the Apollo. That's how I was treating Dak Prescott when I saw him on the screen. I wanted to throw a tomato at my TV, man.
Oh, my God, bro. I don't know why I just thought about it. Remember when Uncle Ruckus was throwing bricks at Obama cutouts? Bro, that's what I feel like Cowboy fans been doing for like the last 4 or 5 months. Just out here shot putting bricks at Dak Prescott cutouts, bro.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. That's all I can say.
Hey, man, the good thing about this is this. You won't have to think about this for another 6 or 7 months.
That is true.
Nor should you think about this. But speaking of folks that the New York City citizenry might not be particularly happy with, enter Kyrie Irving. Because boy, oh boy, Kyrie Irving. It was grand opening, grand closing for the Brooklyn Nets. It is over. And Ken, I'm going to ask you this. Are the Brooklyn Nets and their big three, and even more so broadly, with them acquiring KD and Kyrie 4 years ago, is this the biggest disappointment in NBA history?
I think so. I mean, considering the fact they only played, 16 games together? Is it 16?
Something like it.
It's just, and honestly, I feel like it had ramifications throughout the league. Like, I think people were so afraid of possibly what they were going to be. They uprooted their teams in trying to compete with him. Prime example number one, the Los Angeles Lakers. I feel like coming off of a championship season, regardless if it was a bubble or not, they had a really good roster. And when they saw that KD, Kyrie, and they just got James Harden, they said, well, oh, let's panic and let's get another star ourselves. Let's get Russell Westbrook. It's just extremely disappointing because that small sample size that they had, they were having success in that playoff run that they went when they were all healthy and James Harden got injured and, you know, Kyrie got hurt during the Milwaukee series. But, you know, they were still probably a foot away from, you know, a toenail or whatever away from going to the finals or going to the Eastern Conference finals. The magnitude of what they could have been, and along with the fact, like, you know, they had picked up Blake Griffin and they got LaMarcus Aldridge and they had all these, like, all NBA dudes.
Yeah.
And when they got LaMarcus Aldridge, it was like, dude, they were playing. Like, obviously, them dudes are past their prime. They're not what they are, but you could tell they knew how to play basketball. And they all kind of, like, fit together. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, these dudes are going to be insane. And so for it to kind of crumble the way that it did, like, I didn't think KD was going to get traded. I was asleep. I was asleep. Coach Troy came and woke me up. Like, he was like, man, you know, I'll never wake you up. And I'm half dazed. I'm like, what's going on? Somebody broke in?
Somebody.
What's going on?
Boy, you did you think it was one of them situations like from the third Friday when y'all was getting robbed and all your shit was gone and you up here sleeping like day-day?
Right. Like, what's going on? He said, KD got traded. What? To whom? Phoenix? Oh, okay, well, they gave up Chris Paul and DeAndre. No, they didn't. What? Are you kidding me? They gave up Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and 4 first-round picks? That's it? And don't get me wrong. Mikal Bridges, I really like him. I really like his game. I think he's a championship role player. I think you can win a championship with him as a role player on your team. But for Kevin Durant, but to answer your question again, just I think the biggest disappointment far back as I can remember, you know, along with, you know, Steve Nash and Dwight Howard to the Lakers. I don't believe that KG and Paul Pierce going to Brooklyn had this many, I guess, like ramifications, how they thought they were going to be. I think that people thought they were going to be better, but immediately off the top of my head, I think of Steve Nash and Dwight going to the Lakers and them being instant championship contenders. And then the same thing with this team, this Nets team, just instant disappointment.
I think when the idea was first being floated around that Brooklyn might be interested in Kevin Durant, I think we came on this podcast and I think I said, this is one of those ideas that sounds really good on like 2K, but all of like the human interaction stuff matters. All the chemistry stuff matters. And you got 3 dudes with really outsized egos that all have to work together and mesh together. And that is something that is going to be very difficult. Now, I will say this, like on the court, that really wasn't the issue. They figured out James Harden was going to run the point. And when they were on the court, it looked nasty. But then everything else happened. Like, I can legitimately say this whole organization went downhill. And that really falls at the feet of the owner, Joe Tsai, and Sean Marks, the general manager. Why? Because they put Kyrie Irving in charge. Like, if you really think about this, in a 2-year period, they acquire James Harden and they mortgage a lot to get him. You lose in the second round. Like, if KD, if his big toe was a quarter inch smaller, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They probably win the title. They probably beat Phoenix in my estimation, but they don't.
Yep.
Kyrie decides he ain't going to take the vaccine. So he ends up in and out of the lineup the entire year. Then you end up trading James Harden because he is furious that Kyrie Irving don't want to take the vaccine. Then you get swept in the first round.
Right.
Then KD, he and Kyrie are exploring trades in the offseason. And neither of them get traded for different reasons. Kyrie, because at the time, nobody really wanted him. And KD, the asking price that Joe Tsai and Sean Marks were asking for was a bridge too far at the time. So you bring everybody back. Then you fire Steve Nash 5 games into the season. Then Kyrie Irving puts his foot in his mouth, reading a whole bunch of self-published bullshit that the Hebrew Israelites sell on the corner of the side of the street. Then you try to hire Ime Udoka. Then y'all start hooping for like 5 or 6 weeks and everything's going well. And then it all goes to hell. And Kyrie Irving's like, yeah, get me out of here. What? Like,
I
really
forgot they tried to hire Ime Udoka.
Man, yo, I wanted them to hire Ime Udoka just because, Kennedy Miller, you know I love a good spectacle. You know I do. I just want to see the press conference for this. I do. Because this is going to be a ham. A total ham. Like, what kind of organization has all this going around? And you know what kind of organization has this going around? One run by Kyrie damn Irving. Like, if I am Kevin Durant, you got to feel like a fool because you hitched your wagon to that dude. You hitched your wagon to a dude who is, at this point, habitually unreliable. Kyrie is the homeboy you hate because KD got, it's like when you get your homeboy to hook up on a job, like, yo, man, I know the manager. I've been there for a minute, bro. I got you. You know, right. I'm going to plug you in. You know what I'm saying? And you plug your boy in, your boy get the job, your boy act right for 3-4 weeks. But after that, he starts showing up smelling like weed, not showing up at all, putting in PTO for like 3-4 days, pulling no call, no shows. His work is half done. And now he didn't put your reputation with the people. He didn't mess you up. He didn't mess you up. And you really think about this, man. The Nets gave Kyrie Irving away. They treated Kyrie like, you know how when you moving like from one place to another and you can't fit something on the moving truck, you ask somebody, yo, you want this lamp? That they're like, oh yeah, sure, I'll take it. Only difference is this is like a 50-inch TV. And they're like, nah, man, I can't fit on the truck, man. You can have it. I don't care. And you would never ever do that with like some 50-inch flat screen TV. But that's how messed up. And that is how just in some ways toxic Kyrie Irving has become. And to be honest, that's his own fault.
Baby, tell me what you mad for. I give you everything. I'm always on the road working, but you my everything. It's been some years now and you don't understand me yet. I'm about to bend some corners. I guess it's time to go on separate.
Now, what do you think this does for the Mavs? Because me personally, I don't think this makes them that much better, if it makes them better at all. Like, in sum total. On offense, yeah, they're going to be better because they added Kyrie Irving. But you gave up your best defender, Finney Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think that this move is more lateral than people think. Like, I mean, it gives them another shot creator, which is great. Like, they're going to be on ESPN. They're going to have great highlights. But like you said, they gave away their best defender in Finney Smith. I don't think Kyrie is a bad defender, but I don't think he also puts in effort all the time to play. Kind of the same way with Luka. I don't think he puts in effort a lot of times to play defense. So who's going to be that role player that steps up to do it? I mean, just looking at the Western Conference, I don't confidently think that – I definitely don't think they'll beat Phoenix now. I don't think that they'll beat Memphis. And I don't think that they will beat the Clippers. And so that puts them at possibly a second-round team, which is kind of what I thought they were already, depending on the matchup. I don't think they can make it to the Western Conference Finals, even with this roster. I could be wrong because I didn't think they would make it to the Western Conference Finals with last year's roster. But Phoenix, you know, Phoenix choked, or you could say they outperformed Phoenix. But yeah, I think that they are still around the fourth or fifth best team in the West. And it's going to be an uphill battle for them, you know, in the playoffs when games slow down, when you find out who the superstars are. Which they have some guys that can just go and knock down shots. But can they get stops on other team superstars? Can they get stops on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? Can they get stops on Kevin Durant and Devin Booker? Can they get stops with Ja Morant and that young core, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane, those guys? I'm not sure if they can do it. I mean, the jury's still out. We'll have to see.
I think they really got two guys who neither of them play well off the ball. And I don't think we've ever legitimately seen Luka play off the ball for long stretches of time. Because I think he and Kyrie both, they need the ball to get their buckets. And with both of them, it takes a lot of effort to get their buckets because they have to dribble the ball to get their buckets. So when I think about a dude like Steph Curry can, you know, create the shot for himself. But Steph Curry can also go off a pin down, you know, come off the screen, move it out the ball, pick and pop, and go from there. Kevin Durant is the same sort of deal.
Right.
But if you need the ball in your hands, and both of you guys are ball-dependent guys, how does that work ultimately? Because what I've seen out of Dallas's offense the last couple years is it's Luka at the top. He's trying to get, you know, they run a pick and roll. They're trying to either get a big on a switch, we get a small guy on him, and we go, you know, if not that, we're going to kick it to somebody to shoot a three. But there's little to no ball movement most of the time. And tell me this. The only other duo I can think of that is built of similar players like this in terms of, like, ball dominance was Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson in Denver.
Well, I think they kind of envisioned it kind of being like LeBron and Kyrie, where Kyrie, by the time his last year in Cleveland, Kyrie was the one that he took the most shots on the team and was having a career year at that point for field goal percentage wise. But just kind of like my turn, your turn. Like Luka's going to be a facilitator. He's going to have the ball pretty much a lot of the time and is going to facilitate the offense. But Kyrie is one of those guys that, number one, you know, down the stretch of the games, like we can get a ball to this guy and he can create something for us. But he can also spell Luka in those times where come playoff time, one of those guys is always going to be on the floor. Like both of them shouldn't be off the floor at the same time. And so now you got guys that might get empowered more, like Christian Wood might being able to play better. JaVale McGee might being able to play better because you're getting multiple playmakers on the floor and just trying to figure out how to utilize them. And I think, you know, Jason Kidd has done a good job so far in Dallas. Like, I mean, their offense isn't like the best thing to look at, but defensively, they really amped it up, which got them in the playoffs and got them one of those top four seeds last year. And so I'm interested to see how they put it together, how those two make it work. It'll probably be some things where Kyrie is a screener for Luka, you know, or Luka's a screener for Kyrie and, you know, just kind of play off of that. But, again, I agree with you in your assessment of like big picture wise, this is a second round team. Like their second round and then they're going to run into a juggernaut. And if Golden State was healthy, I would think that I would pick Golden State to beat them too. I would love to see it. I would love to see that series, but I still think Golden State would beat them.
And speaking of teams that, you know, in the big picture ain't going to really go that far, the LA Lakers, Kennedy Miller, I didn't really have to do what I just did.
You didn't. So you are better than that, Alex Goodwin. You're better than that. I want you to know that. You're about to get a PhD in a couple of months. You are better than that low-hanging insult that you had to just throw at me and my team.
That is not your – you are – Kennedy Miller, you are a LeBron James fan. You don't have – you don't have to do this, Mr. Miller.
Why do we have to get into the semantics with everybody? Why can't it just be I'm a fan?
Okay? Why are you
– why I got to be – I'm a LeBron fan.
Because you are.
Yo. Two things can be true.
Now, let's back up. Before LeBron, look, Kennedy Miller, were you a Miami Heat fan before LeBron showed up in 2010?
No.
Were you a Cavs fan before LeBron James showed back up in 2014?
God, no.
Were you a Laker fan before LeBron showed up in Tinseltown in 2018?
I was rooting for them. They were on my radar. I really liked their nice young core. I really did. I really liked it. But if you go back and listen to our podcast from then, I didn't say shit about the Lakers back then.
Exactly. That's my point. So we digress. We do. But Ken, the Lakers blew it up at the deadline. They got D'Angelo Russell in there, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, Rui. And, yo, quick question. I don't know if anybody would notice or not. Rui got some, melanation in him?
Yeah, I think he's mixed black and Asian.
Okay, cause I'm like,
I think.
He's one of them. I'm like, huh, that last name. And once you see a picture of him, you're like, huh. And it's been like 3 or 4 years. I'm like, I wonder where your parents met. Like,
right.
It's been one of them thoughts. But the Lakers, they blew it up at the deadline. 6 new players. Kennedy Miller, the eternal optimist. Be optimistic. Come on, Ken. We're ready.
Okay. I think that the Lakers got better shooting. I think that they helped their financial problems. And I think that they got younger, which were all things that were needed to be done. And they got rid of Russell Westbrook. So it was an overall positive move. However, I don't know if that will help them this year. I think it'll help them next year, and I think it'll help their future. But I don't know if it will help them this year. I think it might be too far gone, especially if they lose tonight against the Pelicans. If they lose tonight, I feel like it is a lost cause for this season. I think they'll be done. But again, they got younger. And another thing, I feel like they got a pretty good value for these players because they didn't have to give up both of their first round picks. And the first round pick that they did give up, they were able to keep it protected, 1 through 4. So I feel like it was good value. D'Angelo Russell, I mean, I'm not super high on him, but I think he's better than Russell Westbrook. number one, just because he can shoot the ball, which makes him a better fit next to LeBron and AD. Mo Bamba, we'll see how he plays. You know, I think they're hoping he could be like in that JaVale McGee role. But somebody that can knock down the three. Malik Beasley, I'm excited about, a two guard, probably the best shooter that they brought in at the two guard spot, probably since Danny Green. Rui, who is a 6'8 wing, big body. Don't shoot me on this, Alex Goodwin, but poor man's Kawhi Leonard. I'm serious. Just watch it. Just watch his game. Watch his game. Not how good he is. I'm just saying the similarities. He's got like his jumper is like, you know, that he likes to get to the mid range, likes that pull up. It's not as on point as Kawhi's by any means. And he's not as good as him, but that's the type of game that he plays like.
He's got an older man's game.
Yeah. He likes to get to the mid range. His jumper is kind of like flat, like it's like a line drive.
You never think it's going in.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I like him so far. He's the one that's been here the longest. And then Jared Vanderbilt, somebody who's just going to play hard. And that's really what the Lakers needed. Like, around LeBron and AD, like, they need people that play with a huge motor, man. Like, that's why that Gabriel dude has been playing a lot. That's why Vanderbilt is going to play a lot, because LeBron is old. He takes plays off. AD is banged up a lot. He doesn't look super healthy right now. He takes plays off. So they just need guys to just go after it, man. So I think it's an overall positive step in the right direction. Gives them some still, like I said, cap flexibility. And, I mean, I think we'll really be able to tell how good it is next year.
So, well, I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to follow up with the question. Since LeBron James got back to Cleveland in 2014, 2015, in his 4 years there, they made a drastic move at the deadline 3 times. In year one, they got Deion mm-hmm. Waiters and them boys out of there, got JR, got Shumpert. Yes.
Mozgov.
Timofey Mozgov, who hit for a lick a little bit later. Shout out to him. That's a lit look, all ski mask team. Timofey Mozgov. They did that in 2014, 2016. They fired David Blatt. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And after they played Golden State and got their doors blown off MLK weekend, they fired David Blatt the next
MLK
day.
MLK day.
In 2018, they detonated the roster again. Got sent D-Wade back to Miami. Got Isaiah Thomas up out of there. They traded about 4 or 5 guys. And every time Cleveland made a move like that, it was in an effort to win a championship. This time, a LeBron James-led basketball team detonated the roster in an effort to make the play-in tournament. That is a damning indictment of the state of affairs. Not so they could, you know, get to the conference finals and win a chip, so they could play for the opportunity to play the one seed. That's rough. That's rough right there, man. And I'm going to tell you this, like you said, I don't think in a year like this is going to be able to really like pay dividends now, because you're asking a rookie head coach to reconstitute his entire roster, figure out new rotations and new lineups, new groupings midway through the year. You got to teach these dudes the plays midway through the year. I don't think this year this is going to help them at all. It's just too little too late. You're sweeping leaves on a windy day, effectively. And one thing I thought about when the Lakers were detonating the whole damn roster, my dad made a point years ago about why a lot of college athletic programs don't take a whole bunch of walk-ons. He said, because when you take a whole bunch of walk-ons, you are effectively acknowledging whoever does your recruiting did not do a good job. If you're taking 5-6 walk-ons on a college basketball team. Right. I feel the exact same way about something like this. When you detonate your roster, you, of the 12 guys in your active roster, you trade 6 of them. This is that exact same sort of tacit acknowledgement that your infrastructure of scouting, of development, of, you know, attracting free agents, somebody at the top of your organization has done a poor job. And I think we already knew that with Rob Pelinka at the helm, but it is just really jarring just to see it like, damn. They did all this just so they could try and make the playoffs. Try.
Right. I mean, so I think Rob We've criticized him numerous times on the show. I think, like, just looking at the deadline, I think he did a good job. He hasn't done a good job in the past, and I think he tried to rectify those things. But like I said, and like we just agreed on, it might be too little too late for this season. But again, you ain't just bringing in Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard to try and win the play-in, right? Like, you brought in some guys, pretty much everybody they brought in is 26 and younger, which is the right ingredient going forward. You know, like we said, like, we used to talk about, like, where's the youth on this Lakers roster? Like, where are the young guys? And so, for him to be able to get these guys with just using a first-round pick, and I think that coming in, and we talked about this before as well, it was kind of like some pettiness going on. Like, oh, y'all came crying to us about getting Russell Westbrook. Okay, well, here's Russell Westbrook. Now what you going to do with him? Now what you going to do with him? And so I think that they knew, and I think we all knew kind of going into this season, like, this roster isn't going to win you a championship. This roster shouldn't compete for a championship. And so, you know, they had all these rumors going out. Well, they want to reassess how the roster looks in 20 games. They didn't make a trade till game 55. We knew it was going to be when they started 0-5. And so I think that they just kind of sat back. Well, number one, I think it was kind of tough to trade Russell Westbrook, especially after they didn't do that Indiana deal in the summer for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. I think that they wanted to be like how a guy like Kendrick Nunn was going to be, because they spent the mid-level on him and didn't even play last year. And I think they wanted to see, honestly, how LeBron and AD were going to look. Like, was AD going to stay up healthy? Was LeBron going to have a decline or not? And I think when those guys played, before AD got hurt in December, they both were playing like top 10 players in the league. Like, I don't think it was more than 10 players that were playing at a higher level or at the same level as those two were playing. And so once I think they realized that, then they were like, okay, well, we want to compete for the play-in, but we also want to make sure that we still have a future ahead of ourselves. And another thing, you know, they're not even in the play-in right now, but the West has been so jammed up with injuries that there's still four or five games outside of the fifth seed. Like, it's crazy to say because there's six games under 500. But if they had gone on a 10-game winning streak, they wouldn't be too far removed from having home court advantage in the playoffs, because everybody on the West has missed time with injury. And so I think that he tried to rectify some of his errors in the past, but we'll see how these pieces look.
Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrise Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiropractic. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrise Tax Consulting.
Baby, tell me what you mad for. I give you everything. I'm always on the road working, but you my everything. It's been some years now and you don't understand me yet. I'm about to bet some calling. I guess it's time to go on separate.
Speaking of seeing how all these pieces look together, man, how excited are you to see Kevin Durant and Devin Booker together? Because I am, like, extremely intrigued on how this is all going to roll. Like, I am excited just in terms of, like, watching two dudes that can fill it up on right. the same and roster. I mean, I'm like, oh,
it's
boy.
It's easy to say this, like, but that was exactly what they needed, which you can say Kevin Durant is exactly what every team needs, right? But, like, that's what they needed in the playoffs last year against Dallas. Somebody that, when all else fails, like, go get a bucket. And that's the thing, like, I like the Lakers moves, but I really just loved this trade deadline because you saw teams really going in for it, right? Like, I don't like to hear all the rumors after the trade deadline or they were close to doing this deal. They were, you know, they almost had this deal done. No, like teams were, once Kevin Durant got traded and once Kyrie got traded, okay, well, the Clippers, Luke Kennard, get out of here. We getting Eric Gordon and we getting Bones Hogg. The Nuggets went and got Thomas Bryant, which that's a nice backup big for them. I'm not upset at it. Who else made a move? I love Portland getting Thybul and Cam Reddish. That is something that Portland has needed since Dame and CJ. We talked about it before. You're not going to win a title with those two guys and no defense. Well, now you got two wings that are athletic, young, and only getting better with Dame and Anthony Simons and Jeremy Grant. Now Portland has kind of flipped the switch. Like now they're kind of, they got a lot of wings now. So, I like what a lot of teams did. I like the movement going on in the league. And I'm interested to see, you know, now we're discussing the buyout. Like Danny Green went to Cleveland, which I don't think really makes him better, but Terrence Ross might be going to Phoenix. Will Barton is getting the buyout. He can help a contender.
Patrick Beverley,
Russell Westbrook. I'm excited to see the second half of the NBA season and how it's going to unfold and into the playoffs.
Man, I think this is one of those situations where, I don't know, do you remember that Fatal 4-Way match that they had? It was John Cena, Shawn Michaels, Edge, and Triple H.
Yes.
I feel like the Western Conference is going to feel like that. It's going to be like, yo, any four of these guys could win. Because we look at the Western Conference right now. We know Denver's at the top.
Yep.
I don't feel like, and Denver's at the top by a healthy margin. Do any of us like feel comfortable on right now who's going to win the West? Because
no, I can't comfortably tell you who's going to win the championship.
I mean, I know in the Eastern Conference, it's for me, it's a two team race. It's Boston and it's Milwaukee.
Yep.
Look, I don't trust. Look, were you going to say Philadelphia?
Yeah, I would say it's a three team race. I'm interested to see how they look in the playoffs, but I'm kind of like you until further notice. Like, it's the two and then it's them.
Yeah. And then on the West, it's like I can see Denver making it happen because Denver has a setup to where Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon are your third and fourth best players. Like, if Aaron Gordon is your best player, you're probably not going to win none. Your second best player, maybe. Your third or your fourth best player, you probably cooking with gas. And Denver is. You know what I'm saying? Memphis has a whole lot of young dudes. You know what I'm saying? But can Ja Morant make a jump shot? We don't know.
Right.
Sacramento, who has not been good, Ken, since we were in elementary. Shout out to Mike Brown.
Number one offense in the league.
Dog. And I mean, like, I'm shocked how well they've played this year. They've always had, like, and to think about it, man, the Kings have had, like, accumulated a lot of young talent over the years. Had Boogie.
Oh, man.
Tyreek Evans, De'Aaron Fox. This is like year five, I think, for him. Like, they've had good young players for a very long time. Now, of course, they missed on Marvin Bagley, and they should have taken Luka Doncic. That's going to be, I think, one of those, like, you took Sam Bowie type deals. But then, you know, you got Phoenix. Yep. If and when Phoenix is healthy. You know, DeAndre Ayton is arguably your fourth best player, the number one, who was the former number one overall pick. You got the Clippers, who we've said it all the time on this show, probably top to bottom, have the most complete roster in the league. Tons of wings. Like, the Clippers have it so to the point where I think they got too many good players. Like, just overall good basketball players. Like, Schmurda and John Wall, I don't think we're a good fit for them anymore. But they got rid of Schmurda in Wall, in Kennard, in the roster, don't feel like they lost a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, they didn't lose anything, in my opinion. They gained a better score in Eric Gordon over Luke Kennard. Bones Hogland is a young player. Like, I think that's more of a, like, what is there to lose with this? Like, what is there to lose with getting him as far as in the future? And then you needed a backup big, so you got Plumlee. Just in case you're playing a team that's super big. But I don't think they lost anything at all. Man, it is definitely going to be interesting. And another team we didn't talk about is like the Pelicans.
Yes, I was just going to say
Pelicans were the You were just about the Pelicans were the number two team in the West. And I mean, Zion's hamstrings are just rubber bands right now. Like, if they were fully healthy, and Brandon Ingram was out 2 months too. Like, if they were fully healthy, they might be a top four team in the West. Cause they got a lot of size, bro. Like, they got a lot of wings. CJ's a bucket getter. Zion is unstoppable when he plays, like, around the rim. So it's just, honestly, it might just end up being Alex, who is just the healthiest around that time.
And that's the scary part, because I want everybody to be healthy. Like, if y'all boys got to miss games right now in February and March, please load manage all of you. Every last one of you. I want you to load manage, dog. Please. And I think this would, and you might be like shocked I say this, this would be even better if the Lakers were good. My God, you talk about like just a great television product, bruh. Like, there's a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and because of their own incompetence and terrible roster building to start the year, they a non-factor. But if they were even to get in as the 8 seed just to watch LeBron and them boys play Denver, I think they lose, but it would still be just a great just TV product. Like, this is going to be one of them playoffs where we just up all night long watching them West Coast games that start at 9:30 and go into 1. Like, this, at least on the West side, this is going to be a bloodbath, man, and I can't wait.
Man, I think they beat Denver if they get to the 8 seed. I think as good as Denver is, I think it's two teams that they never want to see, and that's Golden State and the Lakers. I think Golden State is the worst matchup for Joker, just because Steph Curry puts that man in pick and roll hell. He has him scrambling all over the floor. Every time he plays, he's just like gassed, especially in the playoffs, because they just try and run him out the gym. And the same thing when AD is like healthy and upright, he's just too mobile for him. Now, I mean, the Joker just backs him down. He gives him problems. But when they miss a shot and AD is out running, it's tough. It's tough. And then LeBron has that factor going. Like, they don't really have anybody on the perimeter. Michael Porter isn't really that great of a defender for his size. Aaron Gordon can't really move, you know, laterally to stay in front of him. So, man, that would be a really fun series. It would be a really fun 1-8 series.
Bruh, all right, so I'm about to pull up like what the West standings would look like. If the playoffs started right now, Denver would be playing Minnesota. And that's another team that, of course, we don't think gonna win nothing, but it's so crazy to think about. The league is so talented, or more talented players than I've ever been. Like, I can't remember the league being this deep in terms of talent, especially like in one conference. Right? Because you got Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley. We'll be going against Denver. Memphis will be playing New Orleans. Sacramento will be playing Dallas. Ooh. Phoenix will be playing the Clippers. Like, we talking about like heavy hitters off the rip.
Phoenix don't need to play the Clippers in the That's not a first round matchup. Mm-mm. That's not a first round matchup.
Look, does the NBA have a script?
I can't. Because we gotta rewrite it then. Because ain't no way KD should be playing Kawhi in the first round.
Bro, we need to be like second round minimum. Minimum second round. Like, I think we're going to need like Sacramento to drop a couple ball games or something so we can, you know, hopefully Sacramento's gotten their script so they know to drop down to the 4 to the 5 seed so we can get Suns Clippers later.
Or, hell yeah, man.
Yo, another, bro, the Warriors. What happens with them? Because I think they're kind of getting to the point, these boys old. These boys is old, and they've played a lot of minutes, a lot of deep runs in April, May, and June. And I think we're to the point where, for Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, hey, man, just shout out to boys to men. Them boys at the end of the road. Because Klay can still shoot the ball, but he's a non-factor defensively at this point.
Correct.
Completely a non-factor. Draymond Green can still put you in good positions and set your defense, but he's a non-factor offensively at this point. And they don't have a big guy that can do anything other than putbacks and layup. And they were able to make his shake last year without making a move. But this year, you know, you're asking way too much of Steph. And, you know, Steph's not been healthy. You know, like, I think, you know, they're going to have to lean a lot more on Jordan Poole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to close games, and tell me if I'm tripping here, might it be more advantageous to go with Jordan Poole than Klay Thompson?
You might be right. I mean, you might be right, Alex. I think, you know, they're just trying to get there. Like, they're just trying to find a way to get in. And I feel like they feel like their playoff experience can help them against, especially some of these younger teams like Memphis. And if they even sniff the 16 and get to play Sacramento, I mean, it'd be tough, but I feel like they want those types of matchups. But you kind of hinted at it. Like, if Steph ain't healthy, they ain't going nowhere. Like, that's the thing. Like, if somebody gets an untimely injury, they might be out. They might be out of this playoff run. Because depending on how much longer Steph is out with this knee or leg injury, they might fall out. It only take you 3 or 4 losses, and you could be down to the 10th, 11th spot. Like I said, man, health is just extremely crucial for these. Because I feel like Memphis, Denver, and who's that 13? Sacramento.
Yep.
I feel like they're all good. Like they're about to start solidifying playoff spots. And Phoenix, you know, once Kevin Durant starts. But everybody else is fair game. And if you get an untimely injury by one of your best players and you get on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, you might be fighting for a play-in spot. Like, because Minnesota is the AFC right now.
Yeah.
They haven't had Carl Anthony Towns for like 3 months. Like, does his return help them? Does his return hurt him? We don't know. It's all these factors for all these teams in that 5th through 13th spot that are trying to get to the top 8 seeds.
And also, as you mentioned, for injuries, I don't know how much you've been watching Kawhi Leonard lately, but buddy, he's getting it rolling. He got it back rolling. I've been watching him recently. I'm like, ro-ro. He doesn't look as quick as he used to. I still think he's trying to like save a bit on the defensive end for the playoffs so he can really flip that switch. But in terms of as slow and kind of as tentative as he looked to start the season, it ain't that no more. He's filling it up. So, man, these playoffs are gonna be so fun. Hey, my kid, I don't know if we can commit to this now. But yo, man, we gotta do these live shows. I don't know how often we can be able to do them, cause it just be taking a lot out of us. But hell, look, man, if folks want us to come on twice a week and take calls or do whatever, shit. Hey bro, I'm down.
I'm down, man. Let's do it.
All right. And we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my man, I got to thank you for hanging out with me. Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Toronto, like Toronto Raptors. S as in San Antonio, the San Antonio Spurs, and we are Cheeks this year. M as in Memphis, like the Memphis Grizzlies. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will see you guys next time.